Welcome to Hype episode 98, second time, third time is the charm for this one. I don't want to jinx us or anything, but this is our third attempt at getting this right, I would say. So let's hope everything works smoothly this time. My name is Selena, and I'm joined by Pam and Marima and Kristen. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hey.
And I know you guys actually tried recording this already once before, and I'm sure you all had wonderful things to say, and I'm very sorry that that didn't take.
Yeah, technical difficulties are a pain in the butt sometimes.
I was going to say, this is going to feel like extreme deja vu for Kristen and I. Not so much for you two.
Yeah.
Already thinking to myself, like, didn't we already discuss these? It's because Kristen and Karen and I did, and then that's the official lost episode of Hype, so.
Yep.
Yeah. And all that after last week, we all forgot, or like I forgot, or something happened, and like it wasn't an episode. It was very strange. But we're back this week, and obviously, as sort of to patch the wound of a late episode 98, we of course have something really awesome on our feed, which you should all have seen if you're subscribed on iTunes. Otherwise, you can find it on our Twitter feed or on Hypeable, which is of course Pam's exclusive sit down interview with Bradley James of Merlin and now Damien fame. And she sat down with him for a long time, and they like talked Damien, and they had a How We Hype section. And do you want to just tease everyone what that's all about?
Sure. Basically, Fox invited me out. It was like my last day in LA, because you guys all know I go back and forth. And they said, come out and watch the finale. And I said, all right. And then I got there and they said, Bradley's here. And I said, cool, thanks, guys. And then they said, here's a room. You can go chat with him. And I said, cool. So we sat down for about 40 minutes, and you guys get to hear 30 of that. And I thought it went really well. He had some really insightful things to say about the series. And, you know, anytime you sit down with somebody for a really long time, I think that it just makes for a much better product in the end. So we really hope you guys enjoy that. And, of course, we had to have a little fun. So couldn't let the episode go without a How We Hype segment. There's some fun Harry Potter talk in there. There is some ridiculousness that happens towards the end. So if you're a fan of Merlin or Damien, we hope you're watching Damien, then you should definitely check that out, because I think you'll really enjoy it.
Absolutely. And great that you got a chance to do that. And speaking of specials, we also hopefully planning our Gilmore Girls soon. So I know you guys have been waiting a long time, but season two, I've been waiting a long time. Season two is happening very, very soon. We'll let you guys know on Twitter when we figure out that and all that kind of stuff. Now, before we go into our How We Hype section, I kind of talked about it a little bit already, but I want to make sure that you all know the different ways of contacting us. Twitter is the best way to just let us know about stuff, or puff yourself, like some people have done, which is at Hypeable Hype. And then there's our email address, which is hype@hypeable.com. And then you can also find us on hypeable.com, and you have to do a little digging to get to us, but it's worth it, I promise, because we have show notes. That's pretty much the reason. But you can also leave us comments if you go to the little left-hand corner and you click podcast and you find Hype on there. And you can also find all of our other amazing podcasts, of course, including Book Hype and Hero Hype and Not Another Teen Wolf podcast and our Star Wars podcast and Rewatchable and all this awesome stuff. So definitely, if you're not sort of familiar with our podcast section on Hypeable, I definitely recommend checking it out, because there's something for everyone. And now, for our How We Hype section this week, sort of speaking of Hero Hype tangentially, we are probably not going to be able to do a full-sized Civil War special, because we have so much other stuff going on, but Hero Hype will be doing that. What we'll be doing for you is just turning our How We Hype section into a tiny little Civil War reaction podcast. So if you have not seen the show, we're going to be talking the movie. We're going to be talking a little bit about it now, and I'll insert a time code here that you can skip if you still haven't seen it, and we won't discuss anything about the movie. Well, we will, but not spoilers for the movie for the rest of the show. So, I'll pause for time code here. Go to 25 minutes and 20 seconds. Okay, I didn't actually need to pause because I can just edit, but whatever. So, Civil War, we've all seen it. Some of us have seen it more than once. Who wants to pay tribute to the Marvel gods first?
I seen it twice. I saw it again like a couple nights ago, actually, which is fun. I don't know. I'm sure there are people listening who have seen it like 14 times by now, but it hasn't been out that long here. I loved it, guys, so much. I loved it so much. I actually don't think I've been on an episode of Hype since I saw it for the first time.
No, none of us have.
Because, well, yeah, and I think I've been...
Except Kristen.
Yeah, and I've been off a couple of weeks. So, oh my God, it was so good. Are we doing spoilers? Is that happening?
Yeah. Okay. It's happening, guys.
Well, basically, I just was like so happy that they did right by Cap and by Bucky. And I know, Selena, you did not enjoy it, but at least we got the hilarious article you wrote about that, so that makes it worth it. I thought the women in Civil War were done so well. Like, oh, just Age of Ultron made me want to jump out a window on like the 56th floor of a building. And so seeing in Civil War them get it really right and knowing that these guys now have control of the direction of the MCU was just so encouraging. And was very exciting, and it really held up on a second viewing. So that was fun too. The first time I kind of sat there just with my hands on my face, like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. And then the second time I was like, nope, still good, still funny. And the friend I saw with the second time does not know anything about comics and could barely remember what happened in any of the other films. I had to explain to her that X-Men were in fact not part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So that's what we're talking about here. And she was like, okay, but like Bucky and Steve are in love, right? Like that's the thing that they're trying to show here. And I was like, yes, this is correct. So yeah, I loved it. I loved it so much. I was so happy with it.
What about you guys?
Well, I've seen it three times. Not to, you know.
You hate it.
I hate it so much. I hate what? No, I'm kidding. I really, really loved it, too. It's not just a good superhero movie. It's not just a good Cap movie. It's a good movie. And that cannot always be said about superhero movies. Sometimes, you know, they work for the story they're telling, but on a grander scale, it doesn't necessarily hold up. But this movie is really, really well structured. It's tells the whole, you're enamored from beginning to end, and there's so many little things in there that I didn't think I was gonna care about and ended up being my favorite parts. Spider-Man, Black Panther, went into it thinking, you know, hopefully I'll come out of this wanting to see those movies when they come out, but now I'm anxious to see the Black Panther movie, and I'm actually really excited to see the Marvel Cinematic Universe kind of get involved in Spider-Man and see how that movie's going to turn out. So, yeah, there's a lot to love about Civil War.
Oh, God, I was so mad when I watched it and was like, damn it, Marvel, you've made me care about Spider-Man. Like, I was actually furious about it. I came out...
I'm very surprised that you come out feeling that way.
Yeah, I came out and was like, I'm seething about this. And, you know, all of my previous objections stand. I would have liked them to see... I would have liked them to take Miles Morales. I would have liked them to go in a different direction in terms of the casting of the character. But in terms of the actual way the character was written for, it's the first one... Like, I'm not anti-Tobey Maguire, I'm not anti-Andrew Garfield at all, but this was the first time I've seen Spider-Man, and he was actually Spider-Man from the comics. Like, he was actually that character. You know, he was, like, this kind of nerdy, jumpy, sort of just geeky, excited kid, and I totally bought it. For the first time, I totally bought it. And, you know, I'm not, like, the world's biggest Spider-Man fan, but there's a reason that he's so popular, and it's because, like, his comic books are really fun, and... his character is really fun in the comics, and they have just not been able to translate that to film at all. You know, you might have liked the Spider-Man films, that's totally fine, but he was definitely not the comic book character. And for the first time, I was like, this is Peter Parker. Like, this is actually what the character is. And so for people who are really big Spider-Man fans, I think they will be like over the moon with the way he was presented in Civil War. For people like me who are just like so over it, I was just kind of astounded that they managed to make me care, I guess. But why didn't you didn't like him? I mean, you didn't like any of it, but you didn't like Spider-Man in this?
No, and no. Okay, I'll give my piece, and then Pam can round us out with some happiness. That S is her way. But I think, like, to be fair, I've only seen it once, and I'm not planning to see it again. So I guess all my opinions are based on firsthand impression. I guess part of my general sort of frustration with this is that everyone loves it. I'm not gonna lie, like when I sort of I don't feel a thing and everyone else just has this universal opinion, that kind of tends to get me in the opposite direction, as you may have noticed. Fantastic Beasts. But like for me, what I think it was is that I've spent a lot of time over the past couple of years getting into the Marvel universe and learning to appreciate these superhero movies that I personally don't think... God, I'm going to alienate all the listeners. So good that it's just me. No one else. Just me, guys. This thing about, you know, white guys named Chris and love interests that serve no purpose other than to be rescued and big sort of funny action scenes that recycle jokes. Like, all of those things. Like, I've sort of come to terms with people telling me that Marvel is different. Marvel is not like that. Marvel is and learning to appreciate Winter Soldier and coming into this story about Steve Rogers and being like, okay, well, he's really cool. Like, okay, and then came this one, and now everyone loves it, and I didn't. And I'm like, what is happening? So I think that I just, like, it's so funny because I'm seeing all, like, the critiques against X-Men now, Apocalypse, about it being bloated, too many superheroes, it didn't feel focused. Those are all the things that I would critique about Civil War, and I just think it's really funny how sort of universally we choose to laud one and criticize the other for what could easily be interpreted as the same things. So basically, just to sum up, like, the things that I take issue with, first of all, was the lack of development for Steve. Like, I felt like this movie was all about Iron Man and about setting up the Avengers. Like, people have said this is a better Avengers movie than Age of Ultron, which may be true, but it wasn't supposed to be an Avengers movie. And the fact that people are like you said, like Spider-Man made you excited about Spider-Man. A lot of people are sort of really, like, saying he's the best part in the movie. I'm like, well, that's what they said about Wonder Woman in Batman versus Superman, so why is it not an issue here that he's better than the main character? Bucky just wasn't in it enough for my taste. Like, his pain is something that people have taught me to care about as something that mattered in the MCU, and that just was just pushed to the wayside. I thought, and we, you know, you wrote that amazing article on the women of Civil War, and I agreed. Natasha and Scarlet Witch were definitely my favorite parts of the movie, but I thought Sharon Carter, like, was just, I like her, it has to be said. Like, I like the character, I like the actress. She was a love interest prop in this movie, and she literally disappeared the minute she fulfilled her purpose and kissed Steve. Like, she was just out of the narrative, and I was like, this is not, how is this not, you know, it's just, you get so angry and you're like, why does no one care and why do people,
but I think everyone cares about that. Like, I think that's disingenuous because like I've seen basically every review of this is like, I really like the film, yeah, with the caveat of what were they doing with Sharon, like that,
but
was,
but that's
ridiculous.
What I mean, like when you talk about Age of Ultron, the thing with Natasha, and I'm not saying it's the same thing, but that takes over, that's a lot of people's main reason for not liking it, whereas in Civil War they're like, oh yeah, by the way, there was this thing, but everything else was great, whereas I don't think everyone else was great, so I notice, I guess, those things more. There's a lot.
Yeah, I guess I just wonder, like, why do you bother watching them then? Like, you just said basically,
yeah,
you don't like this genre
question.
Of film. Like, I don't like vampire TV shows, so I don't watch them.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, why watch,
yeah,
superhero films,
right,
if you don't like them?
But that was kind of my point. Like, I've spent so long in fandom wanting to like the main, like the things that everyone likes. And I've spent so much time caring about the MCU and like, you know, the whole like Steve Rogers kind of became the person that I sort of connected to. And that was why, you know, everyone was so worried he was going to die in this one, and he didn't. But I'm just left kind of like, okay, well, I don't connect to him anymore, so what's left for me, kind of. And it frustrates me. It just, I wish that I was into it, and I wish that I felt the thing, but I guess I just don't feel the thing. And now I'm looking ahead to all the future Marvel movies, and I'm like, I'm not really interested in any of them. I didn't think Spider-Man was that funny. I'm just like, ugh. So I guess I'll have to find something else to be majorly excited about now, which really upsets me, because I was already, before Civil War, I was all ready to say, okay, finally, I've embraced the MCU, I understand the hype, and now I'm just like, you know, I didn't understand the hype, clearly. So I'm very sort of, I feel very sad, and I don't, because I know everyone loves it, and I'm so, so, so glad to see all the positive reaction. I just wish I shared it, because it's very, it's a sucky feeling to sit on the outside and just say, I don't see it, you know?
Mm.
And the funny thing is that I share a lot of those issues, like, or many people share, like you said, with Sharon Carter and stuff like that, like many people share the things I see, but overall their impression was just very positive, and overall I guess my impression just was very negative. Like, my brother was in the movie with me, he loved it, he thought it was amazing, so it's very sad. But I guess we all have that thing, you know? It's like, you don't, like you said, like, you don't have to love something just because everyone else loves it. Like, everyone else tastes is different, you know? And I think we all sort of probably have that one thing when we go, everyone else loves it, but I have no idea why this is supposedly so good.
Yeah, and I don't think you have to consume everything just because you're in, like, quote-unquote fandom either. You know, no, just because, like, Marvel is a big thing doesn't mean you have to be into Marvel if you don't like superhero mm-hmm. movies. Like, you're probably not
exactly.
gonna.
I mean, but I did. I thought I did. You know, that's what annoyed me. Like, I genuinely did like the first Avengers movie, and I genuinely did like Winter Soldier. And yes, I genuinely did like a lot of Age of Ultron. So I'm like,
incorrect.
I guess so, I like superheroes now.
Mm-mm.
Well, it's not really, because a lot of it. That's the thing with, I saw Age of Ultron, I was like, a lot of it is very good, but I see your concerns. So I guess those take precedence. And then this one, I was like, yeah, I guess a lot of it was okay, but I have bigger concerns. So it's all about, I guess, how you frame it in your mind, you know.
Sure.
And that's just, you know. But again, like, for me, the big thing right now is Star Wars. Like, that's what I feel like gives me what I need for my entertainment. So I guess I'll just be a Star Wars fan now. I'll just go get my Jedi cloak. I'll be right back.
I mean, Star Wars isn't going anywhere for the next, like, the next decade mm-hmm. or so. So you should be good.
I think I should be good. Yeah, you're right. And that's, like, the same thing, putting out, like, all these bonus things and movies and expanding the backstory. And I'm like, hell yeah, Star Wars. So, you know, we all have something. And Pam, do you want to give us your positive review to round us out?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess I'll just keep it short and sweet for you guys. I really liked it too. I saw it twice, and I think the second time was much more enjoyable just because I didn't have to worry about Cap kicking the bucket, and that was obviously a big concern for a lot of people going into this. Although I will say that the first time they really had me thinking that someone was going to die with that last fight scene between him and Tony in the cave looking thing. Like Marima, I think that I was pleasantly surprised with Spider-Man because I was like, why do we need another one? But I have not read the comics. I think I've been very open about the fact that, like, I just haven't gotten around to reading any comic books. But I will say that, like, as a kid, we grew up watching the Spider-Man animated cartoons every like Saturday morning, because I grew up with brothers and stuff. And the cartoon version of Spider-Man, which is like the Spider-Man that I have in my head from my childhood, is very similar, I guess, to that of the comic, because he is kind of snarky and he is funny and he is smart and he is a little nerdy and stuff like that. And so just like for me as somebody that grew up watching the cartoons in the 90s, it definitely like resonated with me as far as that nostalgia factor of what I guess I had always wanted Spider-Man to be, but never really knew that, like, it was something I needed. So yeah, as a result, I think it's going to be really fun. And I thought that the dynamic was really great, because it was, it's interesting to see them place this kid who's awestruck amidst these, like, 30, 40-year-old men and women You know, except for Scarlet Witch, which I think she's a little bit younger. But yeah, so I thought that made for a really fun dynamic. And I thought the pacing was really good. And I'll probably go see it again because third time's a charm. But oh. I am sorry that you didn't enjoy it.
Also, speaking of things I need in my life, we cannot finish without talking about Black Panther, who is a gift to mankind.
Oh my God, yes!
I cannot wait. I cannot wait for Black Panther. I was already excited for it, but God, guys, I cannot wait. Like, forget, like, I was excited about Spider-Man because I was not surprising myself to have that reaction. Like, I was like, that wasn't a sentence. I was not expecting myself to have that reaction to Spider-Man, so I was like, oh, wow. But Black Panther is very obviously where it's at.
Totally agree. I'm right there with you.
Yeah, I was not, okay, well. I was gonna say I was not as bullish about Black Panther just because I didn't know anything about him. And so getting to learn more and more in this, because I'm not a big comic book reader either, but I walked out of this movie being fully enamored with him, and like now I'm counting down the days. So yeah.
And I'll say like Bucky's obviously going to be in Black Panther now, I'm assuming. So I'm very excited for that team up. It's a good time all around in the MCU right now.
Great. And you guys can find so much about Civil War on Hyperbole, where we did a bunch of articles about it. Merrim obviously did that fantastic one about the women of Civil War, where she makes some great points that, you know, I don't see why we're not mad about, but whatever. And especially about what's her face? Black Widow. Who was just spectacular in this movie and really should have her own. There's Michal's fantastic piece that I really enjoy so about why Mary Spider-Man is basically a Mary Sue. And we're all like,
I loved
Spider-Man.
That article. That was amazing.
Very good article. And some stuff arguing for Team Iron Man or Team Captain America. And I guess Karen is super happy right now with her Iron Man movie. And just some other stuff that's great. And all of your positive feelings about Marvel and this overwhelming franchise is unhypeable. So you can definitely find it there. We do have...
And also your review of the Captain America film, which was the funniest thing I've read this year. So
oh, yes,
everyone go and read
that. My new favorite movie.
That was hilarious. Selena's found her version of the MCU.
There's just something about like my approach to pop culture that got stuck in the 90s. I think that's my whole problem because I watched the 1990 version of Captain America and I like was fully expecting it to be terrible and it was. But I was just like, but it's kind of feminist and like it's kind of good. I don't know what's going on. Like I feel like a lot of the stuff that we're saying is groundbreaking now, like culture wise they already were doing in the 90s, and that was one of them. And just it's I enjoyed it actually a lot more than I thought. So we have a couple of comments about Captain America Civil War from our listeners, and Pam and Kristen, if you guys just want to take those two.
Where did you put them?
They're right under the...
Oh, I see. My bad. Okay. I thought they were at the bottom. Okay, I'll take this first one here from Melissa Miller, who says, just had to say, this whole rumor about Cap dying in the movie really brought down my enjoyment of it. It made me dread watching it. During funny moments, I got sad thinking about how Cap was about to die. And by the end, when Tony and Cap were fighting, I was about to lose my mind. I thought there's no way in hell Tony could kill Cap. It would be going way too far. Tony has so much emotional baggage throughout these films. This will ruin his character and it will ruin everything. And I hate this. And while my mind was racing and totally distracted by the fighting at the end, everything was hunky dory. And now I feel cheated and relieved at the same time. Odd experience altogether, I'd say. Time for a rewatch. Melissa, definitely go rewatch it. You'll enjoy it much more the second time around.
Yes.
And we also got a tweet from @TheLadyAsh, and she says, it was so good. I might go a second time later this week. Best action scenes of any Marvel movie yet, and I didn't mind Spidey as much as I thought I would. I'm excited for the new ep. Yeah, I think we all pretty, great. I mean, everyone but Selena agrees with you,
you
on the Spider-Man.
Me the
We agree with you on the Spider-Man. I think he was the biggest surprise for a lot of people, so that's awesome.
Yeah. And you know what? I mean, just one more thing. Like, I will just say, like, maybe it's, like, if you're listening and you're very angry right now and you're like, how dare she have an unpopular opinion? And just, like, feel like, well, I do represent a slightly different crowd. And I will not say that the Civil War was not received well in Scandinavia, but nobody really laughed at Spider-Man in my cinema. Like, maybe it's just a different expectation. Like, maybe it just is. I don't know. So, yeah, it's always
that's interesting.
Alternative opinions, yeah. And so we are actually going to continue talking about Marvel now, but spoilers are officially over if you're joining us now again. So we're safe. There's just going to be regular news now. We're going to start off with the story from Kristen.
Yes, Joe and Anthony Russo, who have basically taken over the Marvel Cinematic Universe, announced that they plan to change the titles for Infinity War. Avengers Infinity War Part 1 and Avengers Infinity War Part 2 will not be called that. They're going to be telling two different stories. It's not like a Part 1 and a Part 2. Each film is going to have a full story, is what they've been saying. So they will be retitling them. We don't know when or what they're going to be, but keep checking back, and I'm sure we'll let you know as soon as those are released.
Cool.
Do you think it's just because, like, they don't want to have a part two, like, because everyone's so over part ones and part twos? You know, just in terms of a marketing thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, and it...
I think that's what it is.
I would imagine that's probably part of it, is the fading interest in everyone splitting everything. I'm sure that Infinity War is too big to put in one movie, so if they're ready to kind of split it up, then...
But it might also just be because it's too similar to Civil War. Like, I always thought that confused me. As the casual
Infinity War and Civil War. I mean, I kind of assume one of them will still be called Infinity War. I had just assumed that, like, they are changing the title of, like, the first one.
But Infinity War and the Wasp.
Yeah, we're gradually rounding up to the number of women starring in Marvel films. We get half the film every time. Is that how it works?
Ooh, slow clap. Yeah.
All right.
Speaking of women.
Yeah, speaking of Marvel's failure to include women. So in non-news news, we've got a couple of stories. We'll start off with this one. Once again, Marvel's president, Kevin Feige, is saying, don't worry, guys, we're totally thinking about maybe considering possibly incorporating some kind of Black Widow film at some point, potentially. Look, I'm not excited about this. He's so full of a word that I cannot say on this podcast. This is, like, at least the fourth or fifth time that he's made comments like this, saying, yes, we're definitely interested in, oh, yes, you know, when we're planning the next, like, whatever. They move things around for Spider-Man. They push back Captain Marvel twice already. Like, when they want to add in a film, they do it. It's obviously not a priority for them. People are getting very excited, though, so, you know, That's sad, because, like, this isn't gonna happen, but they're getting to the point now, which is good, where they actually cannot not address it. Like, there's just so much bad publicity, because every single time they ask, like, which Avengers movie are you next excited for, or, like, which Marvel movie are you most excited for, there's always, like, a write-in campaign for Black Widow, and and Scarlett Johansson's portrayal is so well received, and you know, especially from the Russo brothers, they have, like, given her a reasonably large role in the films that they've done. So, yes. Does anyone believe what this guy is saying? That is the question.
I have a question for you guys, like a counter question. I know that Kevin Feige set up the MCU and we're so happy, but how would you feel if he just backed down now?
Please.
Like, if he just left.
Yeah, because I feel Kathleen like Kennedy
if Kevin Feige... Yeah, like, I feel like Kevin Feige is probably my main reason for being angry at the MCU. I feel like, maybe unfairly, but I feel like I judge him for all the bad things about the MCU, and I'm thinking, without him, it would be so much more progressive, and we'd have women everywhere, and it would be amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree. It's hard, because obviously, like, he's the person that has to address all of these things, so it's part of it is just the fact that he's the one giving the answers to the interviews. At the same time, you know, he does have the control in terms of, like, the creative direction. So if he was like, right,
and they just make mistake yeah. after mistake, like our next story too, and I'm just like, ugh.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. And I think, you know, we saw with, I mean, Star Wars is a great example, right? Like Kathleen Kennedy took over that and suddenly we yeah. have like this incredibly diverse, just with that, it wasn't like an issue or anything. It was just like, no, this is like what's happening now. And everyone was like, I mean, obviously, you know, there are assholes on the internet, but aside from those people, everyone was like, great, this is the story I love. You're just doing it in a way that is much more appropriate to now. And,
yes.
And that's what Marvel needs to recognize, because the comics are a lot more progressive than the mm-hmm. films. So there's plenty to draw yep. on if they actually wanted to do it. And, you know, the push for Black Widow shows there's obviously interest. So I don't think they can really make the argument they were making even a few years ago that's not financially viable. So like at this point, it's just kind of ridiculous. Like it's just becoming ridiculous that it's not happening. And the fact that it seems to be Kevin Feige, he's constantly like, oh, maybe, we don't know. You know, we've planned the films out till like 2020. So we couldn't possibly organize anything before then. It's like, dude, if you wanted to do it, you would just do it. You know, you would sign on yeah. Scarlett Johansson, you would add in the film, you would book out the time, you would just do it. But they obviously don't.
I just feel like the MCU is holding itself back, and Star Wars is such a good comparison. Like, I don't know if we can call him the George Lucas of the MCU.
Yeah.
But maybe we kind of can. Maybe that's a fair comparison, yeah. actually.
It's kind of getting that way. Okay, and then also in, like, lol, Marvel, what are you doing news, obviously there has been a huge amount of backlash to Doctor Strange, and for a long time they were saying, no, but you don't understand, because we're being really progressive, and Tilda Swinton is amazing, and you're idiots and go away and etc. Great like arguments like that. Director of Doctor Strange, Scott Derrickson, has now tweeted, this is after Marvel released their statement about how they have such a strong record of diversity in their casting, which is the most ridiculous thing I have heard, being like, oh, I'm sorry guys, I'm listening and learning, which again is just, you know, so disingenuous to pretend. There was this criticism from the second they announced this project. People were worried about it. As soon as the casting was announced, like, we didn't need a trailer. You know, people were mad, have been mad about this, rightly so, from when the news broke. And the fact that they're suddenly like, oh, I, like, well-educated, well-established person in Hollywood didn't think this would be an issue is like frankly laughable and incredibly offensive. So that's awesome. And yeah, you know, like Civil War love aside, Marvel has a lot of issues, and the issues are in like the kind of creative direction, and these two stories perfectly illustrate that. So we will see if anything changes moving forward. But at the moment, yeah, that's right. Yeah. I don't know if there's anything anyone else wants to say about that except to just laugh for like 5 hours over Marvel thinking they have diverse casting.
I mean, Spider-Man is younger.
Yeah, so true, so true. It's really totally interesting, that different big age gap that we see right. in superhero films.
Yes, more young actors in Hollywood. God damn it.
Yes, it's so ageist.
They're too old. yeah, but dude, it's the thing, it's because I wasn't happy with Civil War, all these issues are just unavoidable to me now. I'm like, I have no reason to be loyal to Marvel now, none.
Well, it's not about being loyal, like, it's so frustrating. I agree with you on all of these issues, but I can still watch Civil War and be like, I think the treatment yeah. of the characters who I enjoy the most, which are Cap and Bucky mm-hmm. and Black Widow and Scarlet Witch, like, they had the best treatment that I could imagine for that film. Yes. So you can do both. It's not a mutual exclusive.
Mm-hmm. No, I guess. You are right. But now for a franchise that I would say has embraced the times, although this story is not one that I'm particularly excited about, Star Wars has, this is a couple of weeks old, but we didn't record last week, Star Wars has found its young Han Solo. And it's not that dude from Age of Adeline that you guys all wanted. It is a guy called Alden Ehrenreich? Ehrenreich? Ehrenreich. I don't know how to say that. So he will be playing the young Han Solo in the anthology movies focused on Han Solo in his younger years. He is best known for Hail Caesar and Beautiful Creatures. And if you see the pictures in High Bubble, he bears a passing resemblance to a young Han Solo, but I guess they chose him for his mannerisms rather than his looks. What do you guys think?
Yay! Why don't you like it? I'm curious.
I don't know. It just wasn't. He just wouldn't have been my top choice. But it's purely a visual thing. I'm just like, oh, I don't really see Han Solo in that one picture on Hyperbole. Yeah.
And Reposa. So I will say that, like you, Selena, Star Wars is something that we've grown up with in my family. So I knew it was always going to be hard to replace somebody like a young Harrison Ford. But I will say that I saw Hail Caesar, and after seeing that movie a couple of months ago, I completely understood why he was in the running. Because mm-hmm. I think when you strip down Han Solo, he's kind of just like a space cowboy, and Alden plays an actual cowboy who gets tapped to be a cowboy in the movies in Hail Caesar. So it's almost like that role was his audition for this. and I could see like why they picked him maybe after seeing that. I'm sure that that wasn't the only thing that they went with, you know, when it came to casting this. But just as, you know, somebody that went to see the movie, I can totally see why he ended up being picked after seeing that. So I'm not saying you have to watch the whole thing, because I know like Coen Brother movies are hit and miss with people. Like, some people either love them or some hate them, but maybe just look up like some of his parts and see if that helps. But yeah, I can't speak to like the roguishness because I don't think he has that very much in the in Hail Caesar, but I think that like some of the other traits of Han Solo I can see in him from that role. So
who was your pick, yeah, Selena? Like who did you want to see as Han Solo?
I don't know, Daisy Ridley? No, I wanted someone like Daisy Ridley. Like someone I just saw, like, oh, cool, that's awesome.
Like someone, like an unknown?
I don't really know. Yeah, okay. Yeah, like someone they picked and he was like, that's our Han, that's our new thing. But no, I didn't have. Honestly, I'm not against it or anything. It just doesn't, you know how like you have an instant like, oh yes, I'm hooked. I didn't have that here, but
yeah.
I'm not against him, as I said. You know, I think he's going to be great. I'm sure he is if they picked him. Kathleen Kennedy can do no wrong in my book. So, Kristen, do you like him?
Yeah, I've never actually seen him in anything. So I have every intention of watching Hail Caesar at some point, because I remember seeing the trailers and wanting to see it, and I love the Coen brothers, but I haven't yet. So yeah, I'm kind of reserving judgment on his ability until I have a better idea. But ultimately, mm-hmm. you know, if he can handle a Coen brothers film, then that says something, because they are pretty picky and choosy about the actors they cast. So yeah
absolutely. Maybe my issue was just that I have a much more interesting, younger, oh, well, you put that at the end, Parama, like, yeah, Pam, no, Marima, sorry, Parama.
Oh, that's our ship name.
yeah.
I like it.
But I had a much more interesting younger casting in mind for Star Wars.
Well, that's what I was wondering. Did you want Sebastian Stan for Han Solo, or did you, or like, are you just really convinced by him? So, okay, diverting now for a total non-news story. There's this thing that like came up in the last week of everyone realizing that Sebastian Stan looks like a young Mark Hamill. And if you wrote up on Hyperbole, didn't you? If you go on Hyperbole,
I did.
You can see the comparison photos. And I think they were like, I saw an interview the other day where it must have been one of the premieres where Sebastian Stan like met Mark Hamill and was like, look, it's my father. And I was like, I don't get it. And then I saw the pictures of them and I was like, oh, I so get it. They look so, it's like kind of crazy. They look so similar. And that's not related to anything except that we're just like talking about Sebastian Stan and also Mark Hamill. So it's like,
yes, oh my gosh,
the best of both worlds. Yeah.
It's just so funny. Like, I know that this is not, like, technically news at all, because, like, people have pointed this out for ages, one of those totallylooklike.com. But yeah, no, everyone's noticing it now. And I wrote a story up on Hyperbole, and then Shauna Evans, one of our listeners, tweeted us a picture saying, oh my God, look at this. Like, you guys will be interested in this. And it's like a picture I made.
Oh, my God.
That's hilarious.
And now, like, everyone is, like, picking it up. And I know we do the same on Hypeable, so that's fine. But it's just funny to see when something I wrote, because it went totally viral. People really care about Sebastian Stan's face.
The best thing about this was everyone being like, oh, Sebastian, like, I saw all these people on Twitter being like, Sebastian Stan should play a young Luke Skywalker. And I was like, guys, we had those movies. They were called Star Wars. Like, we've had young Luke. We've seen that trilogy.
but
I mean, if they want to make more, I'm not opposed to it. I'm not opposed at all.
Just his trips, like, alternate universe, he finally goes to that place to pick up some power converters.
Right, yeah, and, yeah.
That's just a movie.
We just see, it's just a film of Luke, like, just hanging around, like, getting droids, like, fixing them up a bit. Then they break, then he goes and gets some more, just, like, eating with his family.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, if Sebastian Stan was so cast in that, you would watch that.
I would watch that, and it would be my favorite.
Yeah.
Well, we have a little bit more casting news for you guys. We found our new Laura Croft in Alicia Vikander. She has officially beat out Daisy Ridley, who was also apparently in the running for this role, to take on that role. So that's really exciting. Of course, we saw her in Ex Machina and also in The Danish Girl. So this is going to be interesting to just to kind of see her do something like this, because it's a little bit different from both of those. This new rendition of Tomb Raider is actually going to follow the 2013 Tomb Raider video game, which showed Lara Croft as an archaeology student for the first time. So we won't get, like, the same story we saw when Angelina Jolie did the movies back in the 90s, I believe, or, like, the early O's, which should be exciting for fans of the video game. Do you guys have any thoughts on this? Like, I know, like, Selena plays video games, so was Tomb Raider something that you were, like, really into when you were younger?
Actually, no.
Oh, okay, interesting.
Never Tomb Raider.
Okay. Yeah, so
well,
this is...
I didn't want to see this film, but now I will. So
now you will. Alicia Vikander is the one you over. Yeah, she's great.
Oh, I think it's like when you did mention The Man from U.N.C.L.E. was like one of my favorite films of that
That's
year.
That's right.
And she was
I forgot
so
that
good
she was
in that.
But she
yeah,
is.
She was so good in that, and and she's just like great in everything. And yeah, like I will go watch a film about some smart lady doing awesome stuff, played by Alicia Vikander. Like I'm down for that.
Well,
couldn't they have cast Daisy Ridley?
I know, that's pretty much what Karen was saying. Like, I hadn't seen anything with Alicia Vikander in it, so she might do a great job, but I really wanted Daisy Ridley. Like, that was all I heard about for, like, 3 or 4 days after this casting came out. So, you know. I think she'll do a good job, though. I haven't seen Danish Girl or Ex Machina, but I'm, you know, fully intending to, and I've heard really good things about Alicia Vikander, so... moving on from there, we're going to dive into something a little different. Hulu recently announced that they are interested in developing a way to watch live TV online. So another way to cut the cable box. They had an announcement in the Wall Street Journal in which they talked about like what channels they've got kind of ready and lined up, including ESPN, ABC, Disney, Fox News, and FX. And they basically are just trying to come up with another way to help people get around the cable box, since that's become a really, really common and regular thing to do nowadays, and cut down costs. We don't have any idea what this would cost. They're not quite ready to give us all the details yet, but they want people to know that they're kind of getting into this and looking into it. So, it's definitely something I know I would consider, because I spend way too much on cable, and it'd be nice not to have to have an extra bill every month.
I guess Pam is the only one who can have.
Yeah, I was like, I have no opinion. I don't even understand what it is.
I guess so. I mean, I think I'll just wait. Like with everything, I like to kind of wait and see what will actually make sense for my needs in particular. Because even like with what we have here, like my brother and I kind of split everything down the middle, which is really nice. But I know a lot of people don't. Like we pay for right now, Amazon Prime to do like some of their streaming, but also mostly for the free shipping. And then Netflix and then Hulu Plus. And then we also started subscribing to YouTube Red just to kind of be up and up on what's been going down there, because YouTube is kind of like the face of the future. So it kind of all just boils down to, like, it doesn't make sense in the long run. And I think that'll happen with everybody because, you know, like, sometimes when you have all of these subscriptions, it actually ends up costing more than cable. And that's not necessarily what you would want. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this next story might bode well if you are looking for some changes in the DC universe. Ben Affleck is going to be pulling double duty on Justice League. He's actually going to be executive producer for the upcoming film, which means that he'll be working alongside Zack Snyder and screenwriter Chris Terrio to bring this story to life. And, you know, if you're not happy with Zack Snyder right now, this might be kind of a good way to get the ball rolling in a different direction. I think people were generally pleased with Ben Affleck's portrayal of Batman, so it'll be interesting to see what he does as an executive producer and, you know, how the film might be different under his watchful gaze. So the article, which was a first, Deadline was the first to report this, and they said that their source told them that Affleck is doing this to be supportive of Snyder, so don't expect too much bashing on his end, I guess, which is very nice. But I mean
he's hardly going to say he's doing it because the film
Exactly. But I think a lot of people now, like because Snyder won't have exclusive control, they are kind of like a little bit more hopeful. Because, I mean, Batman vs. Superman was so unwell received by most people, even though I didn't think it was that bad. But what do I know?
Yeah, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't great.
A lot.
Thanks, Selena.
Well, I think, it's all right. All right. I think it's encouraging because obviously, like, Ben Affleck, it's not just like he's not just stepping in as like the lead actor or one of lead actors to kind of lend support. Like he has a lot of experience as a director and as a producer. So I'm sure it can only benefit them, you know, moving forward.
Yep.
Like he'll have good suggestions if he is going to step in and like take some kind of, I guess, share some of the creative direction for it. And, you know, like you said, people are really excited for his solo Batman film. I think in general, like they did like what he was doing with the character, even if they didn't like all of the other decisions about what happened in Batman vs. Superman.
Yeah, and I think that you can tell that he. Sorry, my dog is hanging out. You can really tell that he cares a lot about the role. I mean, there was that story a couple of months ago, I think, where he said that he was like very interested in working on a script and maybe directing himself in the solo Batman film. So clearly, he's got a vision for where he'd like his character to go, and so if people are happy with where he's taken Batman so far, that's very likely that hopefully they'll be happy with what happens with Justice League now that he's signed on to help out.
Cool. Well, this is good news, I guess. I have some TV news that I am very, very, very excited about, which is basically like all of my favorite words in one sentence. The Misfits creator, Howard Overman, is bringing a female-led supernatural horror comedy to Netflix. So there you go. That's me.
So he's making Buffy?
In a sentence. Yeah. Pretty much. Well, you know, you say Buffy, I raise you a supernatural. Like, this is, this sounds like something we're familiar with, but in a good way. So The Hollywood Reporter found this out, that the new series is called Crazy Face. It's a 6-part series. Obviously, we're hoping for another season already, even though we haven't even seen it yet, from the guy who brought us Misfits and also worked on Merlin and Atlantis. And it'll star Cara Theobald and Susan Wacoma, who are both British, and they will play a pair of demon hunters who team up to take down the supernatural forces. Amy is working in a bowling alley and she has a gift that she can see, like, malevolent spirits that have possessed humans. Like, she can see that they are there. And then she teams up with a self-made demon slayer named Raquel, who is like, has all the book knowledge, and it's kind of like, if you've seen Supernatural, I imagine her like a ghost facer, basically. And obviously the Ghostbusters comparisons are also accurate. And they go crazy facing. They go chasing spirits together. And it'll air on E4 in the UK and on Netflix in the rest of the world. And I...
Yeah, this is my type of thing, guys. This is like everything I want from my entertainment. This sounds so much fun. And we found out a couple of weeks ago that we're all Misfits fans, so I'm sure we'll appreciate his brand of, Howard Overman's brand of show.
I haven't seen Misfits.
Neither have I.
Oh, you would love it.
God, we're missing out. Oh my god. Oh, that was another show. It was me, Chris, it must have been me, Pam, and Kyle.
Yeah.
But yeah, you guys would love it.
I haven't been on, I've missed for a while. This sounds awesome, though. Should I watch Misfits? Yeah. Would I like that?
Yes, you should. Yes, you would.
Yeah.
It is the most raunchy, ridiculous, offensive, funny, diverse, just this, that show is absolutely fantastic, and it just crosses all the lines, but in a good way.
Yeah. Well, I've seen like episodes here and there, but they never made sense, probably because like I haven't watched it all. This sounds really cool,
no,
though.
No, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
It doesn't make sense anyway. Oh, that's good to know. yeah, this sounds really exciting. I mean, yeah, I have like literally nothing else to go on. But I don't know. The cast looks cool. It sounds fun.
Uh-huh.
Are you okay? Yeah, you're like hyperventilating. How are you doing over there? Over this?
I'm fine. This is my civil war, you guys. No, I mean, yeah, no, really, like, there's nothing not to like. Like, it's like you said, it's like Buffy, it's like Supernatural, it's like Ghostbusters. It's like, it's the best of all worlds. Coming to Netflix, which we know handles these types of shows really well. So I'm excited.
Very cool.
Yeah, and it's not a brand, so that also makes me excited.
Yes, which is always fun. Moving from one version of horror to a different kind of horror. If you've ever read Margaret Atwood's The Handmaid's Tale, or A Handmaid's Tale, you know that it's not, the setting for that book is incredibly disturbing, but we did find out that The Handmaid's Tale will be adapted. Hollywood Reporter wrote that Bruce Miller, who you know from Eureka and The 100, is set to helm the 10-episode Hulu series with Margaret Atwood, the author, serving as consulting producer. I read this book in college in a Canadian fiction class, and I fell in love with it. It's one of my favorites. It was on my 5 books that have affected me list. It's an incredible story, and it's basically set in like a dystopian universe where women are literally owned by men and have names that refer strictly to the men that they serve. The main character, who will be played by Elizabeth Moss, who you might know from Mad Men or The West Wing, she will be playing Offred, who her name is literally of Fred. She is owned by a man named Fred. And you get into a lot of incredible, just, this book is fantastic. If you have not read it, I highly recommend it. It gets into all kinds of things. Women are kind of given a quote-unquote job, but they are not treated as equals. They are literally possessions, and It's a scary world, but it teaches you a lot. And if you read it that way, like, you can, it's incredible. I can't say any more about it. Like, it's just great. So I'm really excited to see this. There has been a little bit of backlash, because while this is an incredible feminist work, it's being adapted by a white male. And so that's a little bit scary, because that's kind of what the story is warning against. But In the same way, it's nice to see that this story is going to be made in the first place. So it's a little bit of a double-edged sword there, but
yeah, yes. But also, like, Margaret Atwood is attached to the project, so
exactly.
Like, I'm not worried. I mean, yes, like, the kind of symbolism with this particular story is like obviously there, but that does not concern me in the slightest, because I don't think she would be doing it if she thought like that was going to be an issue. I love Margaret Atwood so much. I love this book. I love everything she's written. She's like a badass, amazing feminist. She's a genius writer. She is the origin of that quote, men are afraid women will laugh at them, and women are afraid that men will kill them. So like, that tells you something about her kind of perspective. And Elizabeth Moss is fantastic. So I totally didn't know this was happening. This is so exciting.
Mm-hmm. I'm just excited because, like, not only is Bruce Miller coming off the 100, but also Keira Snyder is joining him. So that's, like, double the 100 power there. And we know that they're really good at telling female stories. So that has me excited. No, I did note in the doc the extreme irony of the fact that this particular story was being adapted by a man. But I don't, like, it's not to slight Bruce Miller in the slightest because I think he's great. So yay, very excited for this too. And our final story, Anonymous Coyote.
Oh, that's me. Sorry, it's taking a while for my mute mic to move over. So we've got one more story for you guys. The Power Rangers have finally revealed their brand new costumes. And spoiler alert, there is no spandex in sight, you guys. These costumes are super heavy duty and they look alien in nature. And that's because that's the way they're supposed to look. The creator of these new costumes is a man named Andrew Menzies. And he said, "It's tricky finding a new language for a superhero costume. Ours is an alien costume that grows on the Rangers. That's not man-made. You can't win everyone over. We are trying to appeal to a more mature audience and gain new fans." To be honest, these costumes have really polarized the fan base a lot for a myriad of reasons. I don't know if you guys had a chance to see these or if you, you know, are fans of the Power Rangers, but they're definitely way different than what anybody expected.
These are ridiculous. I hate these.
Really?
Yes. Are you kidding me? Okay. The 90s version, they're all like basically, I mean, they look ridiculous, but they're all basically wearing the same thing. The 2016 version, it was really important to them to give the women Power Rangers A, heels, and B, cleavage in their suits. Like, are you kidding me? This is just so stupid. I am furious about this. I think I tweeted something
Remember
like...
Remember what I said about the 90s? Like, we don't give the 90s enough credit for...
Oh, we have 100% regressed. Like, that is an indisputable yes. thing. But, like... You know, I'm really yes. glad that they felt the need to just do this so that even when their faces are covered, we as the audience know which ones we can respect and which ones we should be objectifying. Just like I like that to be made really clear to me as an audience member. Like, oh, these are the ones I take seriously. And like these are the ones that, you know, I can sexualize unnecessarily and like treat as inferior people. Like, I'm so mad about this. I don't even like Power Rangers and this is like just outrageous. I'm furious.
Well, I think a lot of it looks good.
I mean, do you disagree?
It's me.
Do you disagree?
To be,
no, I think she's
I don't.
Just,
no.
I get it, Delina. Okay, here. Let's look at the positives. First of all, they're not in stilettos.
The main guy looks like Iron Man.
That's true. Yeah. That's what Karen said, too, actually, when in our last episode. I think these are
the
way...
The aesthetic
more
is fine, but, like, it's not mm-hmm. encouraging when the first visual that you get is one that is so clearly objectifying and sexist.
Right.
Like, that's not encouraging for the rest of the way they're telling the story, either.
Well, that's what I was actually going to bring up. I'll be interested to see what they do with this, because we got an email a while back that we kind of discussed, I think, on the show, where one of our listeners wrote in and talked about how, like, the Power Rangers franchise has been very progressive wherein women Rangers are concerned, and they're firm believers in the idea that women, you know, can kick ass. So I'm hoping that they still, you know, carry those traits over into the movie, despite the fact that the costumes have enraged many people, including Merima. And that's understandable. But as far as like the material goes, I think that like fighting aliens in something like this is much more believable than fighting them in spandex, which is not very protective. So, silver lining.
And I like the idea mm-hmm. that they're like alien in nature. Like, it makes it, you know, aside from the aesthetic problems, like the idea that the suits kind of have a mind of their own and how that might work into the plot or something like that, that's kind of interesting. But yeah, I can see the issues with the look of them for sure.
I love the first sentence in John's article. He goes, "Can we morph into a world where female superheroes don't have to wear high heels,
please?"
Perfect.
Just like Wonder Woman. Ugh, don't even get me started.
Oh my gosh. Well, yeah. I like the colors. The color. I was so negative earlier. I have to like make up for it now. No, you're right. You're absolutely right, Mirma. This is ridiculous. Cassie Drake in the comments said, in her best Arrow voice, "Hollywood, you have failed this movie."
Oh, I love Cassie Drake.
That's hilarious.
That's amazing.
So on that happy note, we wrap up our news segment this week, and we're going to end with TV shows of the week and then just do some listener comments, and then that's it. So if you, Pam, want to go first, because you're the most topical, speaking of something that everyone loved, my gosh, no, I'm kidding, kind of.
Oh my gosh, I can't even remember like why, because we recorded the original Lost episode before. I can't even remember why I put Game of Thrones in here. It's been so long. But yeah, I guess I'll just say Game of Thrones is still going. I'm still very intrigued. We got some crazy Ramsay Bolton going on, and that was like almost too much to bear. And then, of course, the big story coming out of Game of Thrones is that one of our fan favorite characters is not so dead. So there's that.
What?
Oh my, I know, God. It's the shocker of the century. Wow. Nobody saw it coming.
Best kept secret.
That's the end, right? You know, my favorite part about that story, I mean, like, obviously, like, spoilers. Come on. If you guys don't know already, like, where have you been? All Kit Harington could say was, like, sorry.
Yeah, he's like, guys, I couldn't say anything. So, yeah, you know, like, what do you expect?
That was my favorite headline. It's like, Kit Harington responds to fans after Jon Snow's revealed to be alive. Sorry.
Sorry, I'm like dead, guys. Oh, poor guy. I feel ya. But you know what? Buffy did it first. So there.
Okay.
No. But you're liking the season so far?
Yes, I am enjoying it. I can't speak for everybody, obviously. But I like where it's going. I love
actually,
that
Jesus did it first. I'm sorry.
That's right. I was going to say that fandom. I love the original fandom. It's still running. It's the longest running fandom.
So,
oh my God.
I love that Bran is back. I'm like very, very interested in that storyline because we're getting a lot of flashbacks to, you know, Ned Stark's childhood and like teenage years and stuff like that. So yeah, there's a lot of interesting stuff going on right now. I'm intrigued.
Awesome. Awesome. And the Mindy Project.
Yeah, that's me. My one thing that I'm watching or whatever. Yeah, I'm really enjoying Mindy. It's, you know, over on Hulu. It's just been renewed for season 5, which is very exciting. And I know some people are not so into this season because Chris Messina has not been in it very much. But I'm actually really enjoying it. I feel like I may have mentioned this on a previous episode of Hype, but they're kind of pushing it a little further than they were able to, I think, on Fox. So they're making the most of the change in platform. And, you know, Mindy's, like, got a kid now, and we're kind of seeing how she deals with that. And I just love Mindy Kaling so much, so I watch her in anything. But Mindy is one of the smartest, funniest shows definitely running at the moment. So if you're not, you know, if you maybe didn't like the start of the season, I would recommend that you catch up because I am really enjoying what they're doing with it currently.
I need to catch up on that. I kind of fell out of it in its last season on Fox. Yeah, I kind of fell out of it just because I fell behind, and yeah, I need to catch up. I miss Mindy.
Me too.
Such a good show.
Yeah. Oh, I actually was the same. I stopped watching, before the end of the last season, same as you. And a friend of mine is really, really into it and like wanted to talk about. So I was finally like, oh yes, fine. I guess I'll catch up on the Mindy Project, the things I do for this friendship. And and now I'm up to date with it. Yeah, it's really good. And also because, like, you know, Brooklyn Nine-Nine's not running at the moment and I need, like, some fun comedy in my life, so.
Speaking of fun comedy, how's it going on the originals?
Oh, yeah. Barrel of laughs over there. Actually, no, it's just been really, they are hitting stride. Like, it's crazy. The third season didn't necessarily start out so great. It seemed like they were kind of floundering, but we're getting toward the end of season 3 here, and the storytelling is stronger than ever. They've had some incredible villains that I just did not see coming, and they've kind of raised the stakes in some really great ways, and I was starting to kind of fall off of this whole vampires on TV thing. Like, you know, you kind of, you see it for so long, and there's only so many stories you can tell, but they really have, like, piqued my interest again. Like, they've pulled me back in because they've found a new way to threaten the characters and to get some story out of it. So it's really kind of invigorating. It's good. They've got some really, really good story going on. And we recently said goodbye to a series regular. And then before that episode had ended, before we had even buried the character, someone else was dead, and it was like, what? And yeah, it's crazy. But, you know, on the originals, nobody is ever truly, like, dead, so we'll see if we meet either of them again, but it's just been really, really great lately.
I'm glad to hear it. And I'll round off this segment, first of all, by saying that I just remembered that I caught up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., only to immediately fall 3 episodes behind.
Oh.
I'm about 5 behind, you know. So don't worry.
Yeah, it's awful. Like, I guess I just like marathoning stuff, and then when I have to wait for it, it's just, I don't have time. Wait for it. I'm listening to that too. So I think I get what you were saying, Merima, a couple of weeks back when you said that, like, you kind of stopped watching in season 2. Like, mm-hmm. I definitely think I preferred season 1 because I really enjoyed their little gang. And I feel like the last couple of seasons, I've really been kind of all over the place, especially with the characters. Like, I feel like Daisy / Sky, you know, she's there, but it's kind of like she's on hold because they don't really know what to do with her. And there's just all kinds of stuff going on that I feel like is not what the show was originally about. But at the same time, I really enjoyed it. I thought season 3 picked up really well, and I thought there were some really good storylines going on with Simmons and with Hive. I think it's really funny how both Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and The 100 right now are doing these mass, like, hypnosis / possession storylines at the same time. But no, I mean, I guess now I'm 2 episodes behind, so it's really hard for me to speak on anything, but I really enjoyed it. I'm glad I finally watched it all, and I can see the Whedon DNA in it, which is nice, but I definitely miss the good old bus gang, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, you're not encouraging me to catch up on it, sad. I have to say.
No, well, I don't really know what to say, because when season 3 is over, I guess I'll go back and catch up on the last 5 or 6 episodes and tell you what I think. But what I do enjoy is that it allowed me, catching up on it made me go on YouTube and dig up all the old cast stuff that they did, like find all their old dub smash videos and everything, and I've had a blast with that, so that was very fun. And then, of course, I just want to say The 100 returns tonight for the first part of its 2-part season finale, and it's called something super weird, like perverse insanstantiation or something, a word I don't know, and it's gonna be really fun. We're nearing the end of the Ally arc, I hope, and looking into how we're gonna move into season 4, and I don't know about you, Kristen, but I'm very ready for this season to be over, not actually because I didn't enjoy it, just because it's been exhausting with fandom and with all the deaths and with all the pain that the characters are going through. I'm just like, I need a break.
Yeah, I mean, in the last couple of episodes, like, we finally met Luna and we saw her people, and that was so awesome. And so that was, like, something we've been building to for 3 seasons now. Like, but I am really, really glad that we're getting to the end of this season's arc, and I want to see how this ends, because, you know, they've come across one hurdle after another, and, you know, now I'm ready to see something go their way, and, you know, we'll see what happens with Ally and Ally 2. But yeah, I'm ready to wrap it up too. I'm ready to find out everything and kind of take that summer breather. And yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's an intense show. Definitely. So, you know, it takes a lot out of you.
Very intense. Yes. Do you think Jasper's gonna die in the finale?
No.
I have a feeling he will. I don't know why. I feel like he's possessed and he's gonna die.
I don't know.
But I might be totally wrong.
I am glad Harper got a last name or a first name. Last name.
It's not all she got. Am I right?
But that was cute. Well done, Selena.
Oh, my minty dreams are dead, but I guess I can swap it out for Harper Monty.
Yeah.
Whatever that ship
I have no idea
is called. Harponty.
Which
it
is
has
cute.
Some kind of stupid name, but I don't remember what it is.
It doesn't really matter.
No. So anyway, super exciting. Please, if you're listening to this on Thursday, tune in live and help boost those ratings. And we will probably do another special after the season finale, so check back for that. Now, we're going to wrap up the show with listener feedback. We don't have that much this week. We have a comment that Pam, you can read, and then Marima, you can take the long run. And don't forget the amazing title of this email.
Lol.
And Kristen, you can just get the two tweets.
Sure.
Cool. So Laura commented and said, given the choice, I would see Hamilton with the original cast over Cursed Child. I was actually lucky enough to have that experience a few weeks ago, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. And this is, of course, in regards to Selena's horrible, horrible, horrible would you rather that she gave me a couple weeks back. So there you go.
Yes. We did a poll on it on the Hypeable Twitter, and actually, I mean, Cursed Child won. Because, I mean, it's hypeable, so we've got a huge audience.
No
but
way.
I was surprised. Like, it didn't win by that much. But yeah, you know, I would agree with Laura. I would say Hamilton any day because it's about the experience, not about the story.
I would choose Hamilton.
Which you can...
Like, 1,000%.
It's not an easy choice. It's not an easy choice.
Oh, it is
choice,
so an
but
easy
if
choice.
I got to see Hamilton with Groff and everybody, then yeah, I'd want to see Hamilton.
Yeah, if I got to see Hamilton before Lynn leaves in, July, yes. Because Cursed Child, I don't care about the actors. Like, it's just, exactly, it's like the story, so that's fine. But you want to go and see Hamilton, like, now, because, the originals, or at least most of them, are still there. Guys, it's a no-brainer. I don't understand. Who found this difficult?
Because people are Harry Potter fans, and they want the experience.
That's an experience, too. I mean, like, yeah, it is. They're all experiences. But I get what you're saying. Like,
By definition, yes, it's an experience. But, like, if you see Cursed Child now, or if you see Cursed Child in, like, 6 months, or if you see it in, like, 2 years, I don't think it matters. But I think it matters if you'd see Hamilton, like, now versus...
But it's kind of like getting... Deathly Hallows in the midnight release, you know? I guess some people feel
that. I mean, what was the question phrase? Like,
how,
you want to see Cursed Child?
That's how I was gonna... Well, she was giving me, like, unrealistic expectations. She's like, you get the original Broadway cast, like, all of them, and,
you get the original Broadway cast.
Yeah, or I get to go
night,
to, like...
You get to see...
Like, opening night of Cursed Child?
No, I didn't say opening night. I just said... Yeah. No, I didn't say opening
no,
night.
No, this
said,
was for Hamilton, and then for Cursed Child, you get to see it, like, open it, like, first day of previews, which, you know, like, that's when the energy is gonna be biggest, because those are all
no.
the big Potter fans.
Hamilton,
like,
original cast in a heartbeat. That's not even a question.
I had a hard time picking, and I have no shame in saying that.
All right, let's read this email before I derail this further. This is from Shauna Evans, who emailed us. Subject title, which I have been instructed to read, is Selena's Right Again! !
Oh, you guys.
I'm pretty sure you were the one that tweeted this week about how I was always right, so...
You are also right, but I'm not a listener, so...
Okay. Shauna says, I completely agree with your discussion of Doctor Who companions this week. My British husband has been a Doctor Who fan since the 80s, and he constantly enlightens me with tales of Jamie the Highlander as one of the older companions. I was also really hoping for a male companion for once. I'm starting to wonder if the writers think there's a certain demographic that they're hitting by having a young woman as the companion. I hope they're not dumb enough to think that that's what's keeping women in their teens and 20s watching, but it is possible that they believe that the younger female viewers might stop watching if there wasn't a young woman role model for them. Peter Capaldi broke expectations by being an older doctor, so it's not even like the flirtatious dynamic is still present as it was with Tennant and Smith. Thoughts? Also, Selena is right to note that Clara was beyond boring and Donna was beyond the best companion. That these are both accurate statements. I still wish they had kept her as the Time Lord they made her in the last episode before ruining the fun that could have been minutes later. P.S. Selena may also be slightly evil, making Pam choose... Oh, not this again. Making Pam choose between Hamilton and Cursed Child. What kind of person would do such a thing? Also, I would probably... What? I would probably go with Cursed Child because I know about half of Hamilton by heart at this point. Oh, Shauna, so disappointing. Well, Donna was obviously
the best. That's okay. You're allowed to have an opinion.
No, your opinion is incorrect. That's how opinions work, right? I think this is a great point. I definitely think that they feel like they are kind of keeping their demographic by having the sort of, you know what, like you say that they've kind of got rid of the flirtatious thing, but I know so many people who shipped Clara and 12, so, but if they had a guy, they would ship that too, so... So it kind of...
Yeah, maybe that wouldn't be a bad
thing. No, 100%. I would be... I totally agree with all of that. Or just bring back Donna would also be another option.
Yeah, or that. Yeah. That's also good. Yes.
All right. And last but not least, we have a few tweets. This one from My Elizabeth at Unforgiven says... rarely have I been this excited to press play on a hypeable hype episode. So as to everyone else, but... Dayman is A++, so that was especially for Pamela, I'm sure.
Yes.
All the Dayman love. The Lady Ash, at The Lady Ash, says, another for your army, and she puffed herself, and it's cute.
Yay! You guys can still power puff yourselves. We highly appreciate this. We should collect them all and make some kind of,
hype army.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, how cute would that be, though? We'd have, like, all our listeners puffed, and it would be adorable.
That would be. Okay, we're officially doing this.
What happened to ours?
Someone will have to dig through. I don't know, it's still up.
They're on the Instagram.
Yeah, me with the dog. The dumbest dog you've ever seen. great choice. A++ to me.
Yes. Yeah. I'm so glad you can award yourself.
Yeah, why not? You gotta have confidence, Lena. You gotta have self-assurance in this world.
So true. So true. Then thank you to everyone who emailed in and tweeted and wrote on Hypeable. We really appreciate all of your feedback, and we would also want it both for Gilmore Girls. This is probably our final call for Gilmore Girls Season 2 submissions. We have a lot of emails already, but if you do want to send in your thoughts, you can do that hype@hypeable.com. That's hype@hypeable.com. If you have thoughts on Civil War, please direct them to Eurohype. No, you can also send them to us and we'll bring some of them up next week. You can do that either by emailing hype@hypeable.com, by tweeting us @hypeablehype, or writing a comment on this podcast on hypeable.com if you can find the podcast. That's your challenge of the week. And please, we also want to ask that you help spread the word about this podcast, because we, you know, it's hard to find us right now, guys, if you're not already a listener. And so the best way that we have right now is actually word of mouth. So if you do enjoy our conversations about fandom and about news and about all these different things that we talk about, please do not hesitate to spread the word to your friends or tweet out a link or to your favorite episode or anything like that, because we would really, really appreciate it. And if you feel so inclined, you can also go on iTunes and give us a 5-star rating, because that will definitely help us a little bit in the rankings. And the more listeners we get, the more feedback we get, the more we can improve the show, the more we can do like fun stuff we can do, the more listeners we have. So that will be a lot of really great. And then we will see you next week for episode 99. And then we actually have to face the fact that we're turning 100, and that's going to be super scary. But I'm sure we'll think of something fun to do. Yay! Until next week, have a great week, everyone. Enjoy Civil War when you see it for the 500th time. My name is Selena.
My name is Pamela.
What?
I'm Kristen.
What? Oh no, I fell for it. And I'm Mama. Is that it?
going to go full on Slim Shady for me.
I considered it.
You did it.
I'm really going to have Karen on for that one.
Oh, no. Where's Karen when you need her? Oh, right. She's on the lost episode.
Oh, poor Karen in the lost episode.
Exactly. Karen in the lost episode.
She was here, guys.
She was here in spirit.
Oh, I feel so bad. She'll be back. Guys. Yeah.
She'll be back.
That's the worst thing that can happen.
Mm-hmm. We're done, right?
Yeah.